Have the power to know when your power's back on with Orange and Rockland's text alerts. They help you stay in the know about local power outages. Just text OUT to MyORU 69678 and follow the prompts. Messaging and data rates may apply. Orange and Rockland, everything matters.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you grow up with a NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and ABC TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks.
What's going on? You're listening to This Week in Geek, and I'm, of course, your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, returning, hopefully, this will be a regular thing, as I had to take a little bit of a hiatus from the show following some personal stuff that's been going on with me, but I am back because it is, of course, Alex has been taking care of our E3 roundup this past week. He's been taking a look at the press conferences for each and every day of the major Electronic Arts and Entertainment Expo, which is happening in Los Angeles, which wrapped up today, actually. There may be a few minor announcements in the next couple days, but the majority of the show is over. And, well, it's time to talk about the show overall, what we kind of thought about it from a journalist point of view, from an enthusiast point of view, and the consumer point of view, what we liked, what we didn't like, and how things met up with expectations now that we are on the cusp of the next generation with Project Scarlet and PlayStation 5 coming out next year, holiday 2020. But as you can guess, I'm not alone as I look at this detailed breakdown, so to speak, of E3. I'm joined with the man from Kitchener himself,
Alex, who is very tired. I didn't think that watching that many conferences would be tiring, but
it really is.
Because in the past, when we've done this, the last couple of years that I've been doing it with you, we've done it sort of live together and then recorded immediately and bounced off each other. But because I was the one being primary on this, I was trying to take in every detail, and there was a lot to take in this year.
There was a lot, but this year was a very E3, in my opinion. Like, if you want my honest opinion about E3, if I had to give a grade to this year's show, this is probably a B- year. And the only reason it's getting that high a ranking is Nintendo did a fantastic job, like I knew they would. Cyberpunk and Watch Dogs Legion.
And then, of course, like...
And Final Fantasy.
And the little bit of... Devolver is always great to sort of decompress at the end.
Although, I will say this about Devolver. After they finished their first half of their press conference, when they were making fun of the Nintendo Treehouse stuff, I thought the press conference was over. I was watching it over on Inside Gaming, which is another YouTube channel. Yeah. And they're like, okay, guys, well, I guess that's it for the night. Because it broke, it looked like the stream was over.
Yeah, oh, that, okay, well, that was because it was on purpose. It was a very meta thing. They made it like it broke the stream, and then you came back right as her consciousness came back.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, that's enough of that. I'm going to sleep now. So yeah. It was a good joke, but I wish they kind of made it a little bit more obvious.
Well, the people that make it, it's very Adult Swim, like infomercial type thing, like Too Many Cooks and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's very meta, very crazy. And when their feed ended, it turned into a Treehouse Live presentation, like their own version, sort of. And it was the weirdest ridiculous shit, and it was like a war of attrition. They went from 85,000 viewers, and I'm watching down to 4,000, down to 1,000. And there's people in there like, can we last longest? It was like 5 hours of them like in a mock studio, like basically humping each other and like breaking things, covering themselves in goo, like showing off video games. I'm saying in quotes that aren't actually video games, that are Flash videos that are like the worst video games ever, and trying to pretend that they're good. It was basically making fun of all of the streaming that gets done at these conferences afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to watch, but purposely hard to watch, that people were coming in saying, is this still the press conference? It's like, first of all, in the feed, people were like, you realize Devolver Digital doesn't do live conferences. But like, people are like, what? It said live conference. It's like, that's the joke, is that they do basically directs. But anyway, like, if we want to go down like day by day, let's go with Saturday first, which was
EA Play,
which was, ugh, that was shit. But
I will say Jedi Fallen Order looks good, although yes, it's Jedi Fallen Order Titanfall, which is okay.
Now, if anybody wants to complain about the graphics, one thing to consider is that I believe it's pre-alpha still, or yes, it's alpha. It's not pre-alpha. It's alpha now. It looks like all the backgrounds, all the particle effects, all of the robots, all of the stormtrooper outfits, everything like that is all finished. Facial and head character models are not done, you can tell. And the Wookiees look pre-alpha still. They haven't got the hair and fur looking right yet. But everything else seems to work fine. I can take a downgrade on visuals, because my comment initially was, hey, why does this look like PS3, like early PS3? But then I realized the stage they were done. They finished all of the hardest stuff to do, and now they're going to fill in like the facials and stuff, which is fine. I'll take a downgrade on graphics if it means that the gameplay is fantastic.
Yeah, and EA Play was the one day I didn't pay much attention to at all. I just caught the Jedi Fallen Order stuff, and that was pretty much about it. Like, I tuned out and took a nap. Oh, actually, no, that's not true. I saw the stuff they're talking about for Apex Legends Season 2. They introduced the new Legend Watson, which is the electric-type-based character. Okay, that's cool. You're not going to beat Fortnite. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Will you remain a competitor to Fortnite? If you can get your battle pass actually meaning something, I think that's something that the team over at who's the developer for Apex? Is it Respawn?
That's what I thought. They have a smaller team just doing this. Like, the main team has now moved on, obviously, to Star Wars.
Yeah. And they're not going to be able to do constant updates like Epic does with Fortnite, where they're literally basically churning people into a machine thresher, and it's constant crunch. North Carolina just eats people alive.
If they were smart and they really wanted to push it, they would invest in having two studios that are separate, not just like, here's 20 people from our team working on it. We're talking two like 50 person studios, and have them alternate. Have one team working on the next season, then the other team working on the season after that. Have it so that they can cycle teams in and out without overworking them.
Yeah, I mean, trying to keep up with Fortnite is, in my opinion, a fool's errand, because Epic Games has more money than God. Although the fact that Apex Legends was able to make a dent earlier this year, although their revenue has been steadily dropping since February, like, it's no longer one of the most watched things on Twitch. Like, stuff like Just Chatting, Rainbow Six Siege, and other things are more watched now. Although Apex Legends is still very strong, we'll have to see what happens with Season 2.
Yeah, and the rest of it was like FIFA, which I was just being like, all right, go die in a fire. I don't need more sports. There's nothing new. That was the only new thing they showed, was the Star Wars game. Now, the rest was, I mean, here's the thing, to each their own, right? Like, there are people that are probably very excited by it. But
FIFA,
I did
Madden,
like,
right?
I did like that it was different in that their show was outside. It was amongst fans. It was a much more relaxed environment. It almost felt like what Sony was trying to do last year, but didn't really accomplish, which was like shake it up a bit. So I was cool with that. But really, it was all the Star Wars show. That's all that really mattered. And then,
well, yeah, because that's going to be what people have wanted for years, is a single-player driven Star Wars games, because we've proven that the multiplayer Star Wars games do not work. People said they wanted Battlefront. The first Battlefront, which had no single player to really speak of, was complete crap. It looked great. It played fine, but it wasn't a marquee seller like they expected to. Then Star Wars Battlefront 2 came out. They added a campaign mode, but then you had that ludicrous loot box system and pay-to-win mechanics built into it, and it was only after the community backlash that they removed all that. Now the game is finally in a playable state, but no one cares. So they need to recoup the cost.
People care, but they're angry still.
Well, yeah, because the Star Wars IP, when it was in the early Xbox days, you got Jedi Starfighter, you got Star Wars Bounty Hunter, you had Pod Racing, you had all these different IPs and different ideas with Star Wars, and it worked great. People were excited. Sure, they got a little yearly at times, but people still love the Star Wars IP.
Well, I think people are more clamoring for like a Rogue Squadron than anything else.
I would say we'll have to see how Fallen Order goes, but I would like to see a return, the X-Wing, TIE Fighter, or something like that, because I know Limited Run Games is releasing some of the classic LucasArts games like TIE Fighter and X-Wing as part of a limited edition package, I think, for PS4 and some other consoles. So that's really cool, but I'm not paying your Limited Run Games price. Fuck off.
Oh, and the fact that the rush of people that always sell out and then resell, it's bullshit. But yeah, that was pretty much Saturday in a nutshell. Sunday, we got our first semi-busy day.
Which is the Microsoft press conference.
Yeah, Microsoft, which they had, I believe it was 14 exclusive games that they were going to show.
But they showed 60 grand total.
60 grand total. 34 or 37 of them were Game Pass launch titles.
Which I think is pretty cool, because Game Pass has proven to be a remarkably successful idea, I think. And I think it's a wonderful idea, especially for the cost you're getting now. If you pay $14 a month, which they did change it. So for $14 a month, you get Game Pass, Xbox Live, and Xbox Game Pass for your PC for free.
And it's the ultimate tier. Which in Canada, it's $16.99.
That's so worth it, though.
Well, I was paying, what, like $10 a month for gold, and then I was like, it would be $10 a month for gold, $11.99, the same price again if you wanted the Game Pass. You were looking at $23 before taxes, and that didn't include PC. And then they're like, you could upgrade your pass, which is what I did, because I paid for a 3-month, and like 3 days later, I upgraded it. I'm like, I have to upgrade for $1. They refunded my 3-month immediately and then said, okay, you're only paying $16.99 per month now. And I'm like, that's actually a better deal in the long run for me.
Yeah, I may, when my Xbox Live comes up for renewal next year in January, I may just buy the card.
Right now? If my brother did it. Okay. He ended up with 3 years of Xbox Live Ultra, whatever it is, for $1. If you have a yearly pass already on there, there's a glitch that if you upgrade, it keeps it for the entire length of how long you've got your gold for.
Oh.
It worked for him. It worked for several hundred people. It's on red flag deals. I don't know if they've patched it yet, but anybody that has
I would imagine so.
So for those lucky people in Canada specifically that got it, some people ended up with several hundred dollars worth of the pass for $1.
Good going, Microsoft. And especially if they don't say, hey, we screwed up. If they just say, hey, we made a mistake, Merry Christmas, that looks good on that.
Or even if they say, hey, we screwed up, we'll give it to you for 50% off.
Yeah. So, I mean, either way, it's still good guy, Microsoft. However, though, looking at the Microsoft press conference as a whole, having Keanu Reeves come out as Johnny Silverhand for Cyberpunk 2077 is a remarkable win. He wasn't overly hype.
Oh, is that who he's actually playing? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's Johnny Silverhand. That's the iconic character from Cyberpunk. That's like Shadowrun's equivalent would be like Fast Jack or Captain Chaos sort of thing. Those characters that are built into the fiction of the world. So having him in the game is remarkably cool. He talked about it. He wasn't phony. He's very authentic. He was basically John Wick, and he came out.
And he got
people
to be a little
it.
Goofy. And you know what? Sometimes it's really cringeworthy and hokey, but he came across as just having fun on stage, which is more important than like when somebody comes out and reads the lines and it comes across as hokey, it's cringy. When somebody comes up on stage, knows the lines are cringy, and then plays along with it, it's so much better.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he did. It worked out well. Plus, having all the cinematic trailers for Cyberpunk, I think, worked out really well for it. There was an hour-long demo people saw this year, which was not as action-packed as people saw from last year's demo. This year was more conversation choices, more role-play stuff, which I think is really neat. In fact, the swag for Cyberpunk this year was amazing. It's a reversible bomber jacket, which is really, 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 really cool looking. I know one person that got it, but it doesn't fit them, so sucks to be you. Yeah, it's about 6 inches too short for their gut. So anyway, but that was kind of neat to see that come out. Cyberpunk was basically a huge thing for this year's E3. Gears of War 5 was given a date, which is September 10th or 20th of this year.
Do people really care, though? That's my question.
Yes. Gears still has
I'm not into that realm, right?
Yeah, so. Gears still has a remarkably big fan base. It also still has a very, very big competitive community. Not MLG people are watching it on the same level as COD or CSGO or whatever of those esports things, but there is still a competitive COD scene. Yeah. And people, in terms of the storyline, I guess this is the conclusion of Kate's story, who is like Phoenix's daughter, or might be the daughter of the Locust or some shit like that. I don't know. I don't remember Gears 4 all that much.
Question. When I bought my Xbox, it came with
the Gears of War pack.
It came with 4, one Ultimate, I think.
Yep.
And then downloads of the rest
the
of
series.
Them.
It's now, worth playing through the series once.
Or is it okay if I started with the fourth one? Or do I have to play the first one?
It would make a lot more sense if you went back to the past.
Okay, because I'm trying to think about dedicating time to it.
Play Gears of War 1 Ultimate, because you'll get the best experience. Okay. Then go back and play 2, 3, and then you don't need to play Judgment. Judgment is a prequel. You don't need to worry about it.
Okay.
It just gives more context to certain characters. I really like Judgment. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
But 4, it's not a bad game. I will say that. I thoroughly enjoyed 4. It just wasn't... I think they cut themselves off at the knees by not taking a risk, because I can't say much more without spoiling the story, but the story of Gears of War 1 through 3 is really good. It's worth sitting through. So if you got time this summer, I recommend it.
That might have to go on my list. I'll for sure play the first one and the fourth. I might, depending on time-wise, because, you know, we're always busy. Yeah. I might watch like summaries of the second, third, and the
second game itself is a really good story. I really recommend you play at least the first two.
Okay, the first two, and then maybe go through, like, because I have them all forever as digital copies. But the big thing is, like, I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll pre-order that game. It's going to be a day one
Game Pass
game, and if you have Game Pass Ultra, you get the
thing a few days early.
Not only do you get a few days early, you get the like crazy edition, not the gold, like the higher end one, Ultimate Edition.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those first party titles are getting Ultimate Editions. So all you have to do is just keep paying your $16 a month, and you get Ultimate Editions forever. So that's perfect for me. For somebody who wouldn't necessarily want to pay $80 for the base game anyway, I now get a $150 game.
Yeah, and I think that's a really fantastic value they're giving to the Xbox consumer, because the Xbox lagged this generation. It sat dominant in the Xbox 360 era, but it got its ass kicked by the PS4 and the Switch.
Yeah,
this and generation.
Other and games, like there was that game, what was it, 12 hours? Or
12 minutes.
12 minutes. Yeah, 12 minutes. I like that they're showing off the kind of variety of games that you would have expected to be on like a Nintendo platform, but they're on the Xbox now. Basically, deja vu, Daybreak. That it's like that X-Files episode where everything keeps repeating, and he's like reliving his life backwards, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that episode where it's like the dude's in prison, he doesn't know how he got there, he's on death row, and he's slowly rewinding time.
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea that it's constrained to one apartment building or one apartment itself. So that's a super easy, fun game that's coming directly to the Game Pass as well that I wouldn't necessarily buy. They've also got that new Obsidian game, now that they own Obsidian, the Outer Worlds. which is basically New Vegas in space.
Yeah, and that one's kind of got my attention, and that launches this year too.
And that's going to be, again, Game Pass game.
Yeah, so that's something where if I find extra money this year, I may sign up for Game Pass Ultimate and just bite the bullet and do it. Because ultimately, yeah. I may not want to buy these games, but if it means I can rip through the campaign in 20 or 30 hours,
yeah,
then that's exactly all I really need. Because I'm paying for the experience. I don't need to own it to experience it, and like that.
And a lot of times they offer discounts too. Like if you're a Game Pass member, and they might have tiered things. Like let's say you're a gold member and the game is 20% off with gold. Well, it's an additional 20% off if you're a pass member. So that way, if you do like a game but you don't want to continue being a subscriber, you can pay for the game, get a discount on it, and then cancel your subscription. So there's that. There were other titles they showed. They showed pretty rapid fire, a bunch of different ones. There was Ori 2, I think, was shown.
Yeah, Ori and the Will of the Wisp, which looks fantastic. Not my style of game.
Exactly.
But the art style looks amazing.
They showed a fair amount. I'm just trying to think. Like, this is basically about what stood out in our minds, right? Like
Minecraft Dungeons, don't care, but it's still...
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that the Minecraft IP is still this strong after this many years, party on.
Yeah, true.
I'm trying to think of what else really stood out to me from Microsoft. Yeah, Battletoads, which was surprising. Although I'm not sure whether the art style sells it to me.
Was Blair Witch shown at that?
Blair Witch was shown there, which everyone thought it was Alan Wake 2, which would be wonderful to see, but we won't.
Bleeding Edge.
Bleeding Edge.
That, it's by the company that they bought. Was it Ninja Theory?
Yes.
It's basically, from what I can tell, like Sunset Overdrive, but melee samurai combat.
Actually, no, Bleeding Edge, I'd say more wants to tap into, it looks like it's this multiplayer online melee style, so I would probably put it closer to Overwatch, but I don't know, because there was no gameplay shown, just a trailer.
Yeah.
Don't know whether it'll be my jam. I like the art designs, but that's...
I think it's the art design, like the color scheme looks very Sunset.
Yeah, it's very much that vivid, almost kind of border. It's almost like everyone this year wants to capture the Borderlands / Rage 2 vibe.
Yeah, and they showed off a lot of things that are coming out that are just like expansion packs. That's probably why I'm not blanking on a lot of them, because a lot of those 14 exclusive titles were like little indie titles they briefly showed for a split second.
Yeah, they're...
Did you like that they had Xavier Woods, AJ Styles, and Tyler Breeze playing Gears?
What a weird combination of people to actually do that, which I do have a story to tell you off air about Tyler Breeze.
Okay.
Just don't let me forget it.
Okay, for sure. I think that's probably it for that. Oh, and Halo Infinite was announced as a console exclusive launch title. Yeah.
Which I think is really smart.
Oh,
we're basically getting
Flight Simulator for the first time in like 12 years.
Which looks really, really good.
Because they're using it. They didn't say it there. They showed it saying it's using their Azure AI. But what they didn't say is it's the first publicly available game that all of the background stuff, like basically all the weather, everything, it's using real live map data that's then fed through the AI system to auto-generate it. So let's say you're in Guelph and you want to fly your plane over Guelph. And there is major traffic in one area and it's raining near your building, you'll be able to fly over your actual building and watch it rain.
That's pretty cool. I think that's amazing.
It's to show off what they can do with the xCloud stuff. So they announced, xCloud. They showed the announcement for their Scarlet system is basically everything that Sony already announced for theirs, except they're using GDDR6 RAM instead of the actually faster holographic RAM that Sony announced. So it's going to be very similar in my mind to what happened with this generation of systems, where Sony's is just a little bit better. And it sounds like Sony's going to make it to the market earlier too, because the rumors are that they're targeting a first or second quarter release, which would be March to May sort of thing.
I don't think you'll see Sony's the way I think it'll turn out. You'll see Xbox launch in November 2020, because that's when each Xbox console is traditionally launched.
Yeah.
PlayStation, if it makes it to market beforehand, will be a September launch.
You think so?
Because
they said they wanted to get it out during their the fiscal year. So it's It all depends on how
you
they
won't
perform.
You won't see them cannibalize software sales. You won't see it happen. You'll be unlikely to see it happen before E3 of 2020. It'd be very unlikely.
And again, don't forget, they are not necessarily going to be at E3 ever again.
Yeah, so but in my opinion, they're not going to cannibalize software sales. They're going to try and milk as much out of the PlayStation 4 because they wouldn't announce. Sony would say, "Can you put it on this system instead?" You'll see ports of games like Red Dead, Cyberpunk, probably Spider-Man as well. You'll see big ports of games, but notice how we didn't see anything announced.
Well, the big thing is the rumor for the longest time was that Cyberpunk was going to be a day and date launch title for the PS5. Mm-hmm. That it was going to be cross generational. There's a lot of games coming out in March. And then, you know, early April would be fitting within that end of first quarter, beginning of second quarter launch window for them. There'd be a lot of games out, like Final Fantasies coming out in March. Like, there's a lot of things that could easily make the jump if they're already preparing for it. So it'll all depend on what they announce. They weren't at the show. It was kind of disappointing that they didn't even run any counter programming or anything to it. But, you know, going back to Microsoft here, Microsoft was smart to basically go. They basically went huge. This is probably the biggest show they ever did as far as production value.
Yes, this looked great. This, like I said, I'd give Microsoft's conference a C+ to a B- because they did. It was great production value, enough games there, but there weren't enough exclusives that wowed me. I mean, Lego Star Wars, really? Again, yes, it's all 9 films, but
Lego Forza.
Lego Forza is cool, but
Yeah.
I'm really surprised they didn't push any Sea of Thieves content because that's coming into its year two. But that's the thing, though. Microsoft's big exclusives this year, Gears 5. Is that enough to move a few more Xbox Ones, maybe?
Yeah, that's like their big, big one. That's it.
Yeah, because there's no Forza this year.
They announced the end of the backwards compatibility program.
Which is disappointing. State.
But they did announce you get 2 human for free.
Whoopie fucking do. I toured the studio for that.
Oh, well, I mean, that was local, right? Like,
yeah.
But as far as anything good from that list, couple weird games, but the big ones.
Asura's Call's really good.
Yeah.
Or Asura's Wrath, that's it.
All of the Splinter Cell games for the Xbox, which is something that would probably appeal to you.
Yes, absolutely.
All the originals. And they're all going to play, if you have an Xbox One X, in 4K.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back and probably buy those Xbox games because I've played Double Agent, I've played Blacklist, I've played
Conviction. They're listed at like $10 a piece because they're the original Xboxes. You might even get a special deal on them too. So there's been some talk on like Reddit and that they might be bundling some of those together at the end. So it's like, here, this last wave of 8 titles, get them all, and buy them all, and you only have to pay for 6 of them sort of thing. So,
see, that'd be good.
Yeah, so that's going to end it for them, which is, again, a pretty good show. The big thing was, like, I watched the Cyberpunk reveal, and I was watching with my roommate, and it's the only time I'm not really animated when I watch something like this. Both of us actually screamed, what the fuck, as soon as it was Keanu Reeves. Like and then you realize you see all these videos on YouTube now, all the people watching reactions to it. That was everybody's reaction. Like that.
Oh yeah.
Don't ever say that that leaks don't spoil conferences because they do. Like if this had been announced earlier, nobody would have reacted. It was just thought of holy shit. Like that's such a huge get.
Well, he's come out. He's had such a career renaissance in the last couple of years. I mean, this year he's had John Wick. He's had Be My Maybe. I think he was like a cameo in. He's in Toy Story 4. Yep. I mean, and now he's Johnny Silverhand.
John Wick's still in theaters. It's the highest grossing film of the series. It's also one of the highest grossing domestic R-rated films. And he's a fucking badass in his mid-50s.
And he's known to be a genuinely nice guy, too. Like, he's one of the few Hollywood actors where if you asked him for a ride home, he'd probably give it to you.
He's done it before. He's shared cabs with people just and gone way out of his way because he's just like, why not?
He takes the bus, too.
Yeah.
So, go get him. Yeah. Good good guy Keanu.
And just good, he generally puts out good karma to the world, right? So that was cool. And then, you know, I took a bit of a break. And then after that, we got the one I was dreading the most. And what I like to call the perpetual plant system, where they just plant people in the audience to scream at everything they do. Oh, they breathe heavy? Scream about it. Oh, there's this. I think, and the more I was looking into it, the people in those videos that they were showing during in between their cuts of trailers, where they're like praising the company. Those people were in the fucking audience in the first three or four rows. They cut to them a few times.
They're family members. I wouldn't go that far, and that's quite the accusation.
What I think it is, they're family and employees.
I'd have to see that. If you ever want to link that to me, I would like to read that.
They handed out T-shirts to the people in the first few rows, too.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all. If I had to guess, I'd say those are probably influencers who got invited to the Greenbrier event last year when they were showing off Fallout 76 during the summertime. If I had to guess, that's who those people are. I have nothing to base that on, okay, except speculation. So whether they were like allegedly paid people or not, I don't know.
It didn't sound natural.
I'm willing to believe it because
press would not cheer like that for the things that came across as terrible. Like, and this isn't even me being subjective. That Commander Keen reveal looked kind of cool when they showed off that they're bringing Commander Keen back, and then spiraled into one of the biggest dumpster fire game shows I've ever seen.
Well, the second they announced it was a mobile game and it was full of microtransaction bullshit, I was like, all right.
You can't beat it without paying. You cannot do it. It's one of those games where you'll spend 3,000 hours to beat one level unless you want to pay for it. And they're trying to... The worst part is they're marketing this in their presentation directly to young children. They said, this is for the young children that didn't grow up with it. Get them interested. Show them the game. So they're trying to tell parents, buy these things for your child because we can't tell your child to buy it on your phone. So
yeah,
it's horseshit. And everybody in the crowd's, yeah, yeah. Are you fucking... I'm sorry, but my God, that is ridiculous. That is beyond anything. That is the worst presentation I've ever seen from any press conference.
I'd say their Fallout 76 stuff was fairly right on the nose. I mean, Todd Howard comes out and says, well, I'm surprised there's still some of you here considering our track record over the last year. But he did talk about the Wastelanders expansion, which comes out later on this year, although they're already putting Fallout Battle Royale, which is Nuclear Winter, which is going on right now, with human NPCs, a questline and conversation, choice and consequence, which should have been in the game from the fucking beginning, which is what a lot of people are saying. A lot of people were cheering for it. They say maybe the game will be in a playable state now. The game is playable now. It's still got a lot of problems. But it's just... This is... I feel like it's too little too late. Like honestly, I was listening to another video and Nintendo has come out and said they're not going to make people do crunch. They'll delay a game rather than do crunch time if it means the health and well-being of their employees. And I think Bethesda should have put Fallout 76 back in the cooker for another 6 months before they released it. If it meant we could have had more expansions or maybe even had human NPCs, even if they were few and far between in Fallout 76 at launch, because now the Bethesda game is starting to look like a Fallout game, and it only took a year. And people like me who got suckered into paying $250 for the collector's edition.
Yeah.
And right now they're having...
People are still waiting for their bags.
The bags are getting shipped this week, and I promise you right now.
Long? Are you kidding me?
I promise you now, those bags will be a hot market. Will be a hot item on the secondary market because people who got the collector's editions and resold them.
Yeah,
these bags will be rare, which means you'll see these pop up on eBay and in the secondary market. I can only imagine what it's going to look like.
Not to mention, like. I didn't like the way they tried to spin this. They tried to say that the first year was all about you discovering the world, and the second year is all about you interacting with the people. Fuck off. That's your backpedaling way of trying to say that we did so terrible. Also, that's a bold-faced lie. They made it sound like it was always their intention, when if you remember their press conferences from before, and all their press on it was all about how this is a very different game and it's not going to have this.
Well, one of the things that was said recently in the news, I think it was IGN did an interview with Todd Howard. He came out and said, we knew this wasn't going to be a high Metacritic game. We knew there were going to be difficulties coming into it. Well, then why the fuck did you build the game like this?
Because
if you knew there were going to be problems.
Because ZeniMax, their owner, is probably like, pump that shit out, motherfucker. Give us paid. Get us paid, bitch. Like, if you listen to that, all the games that were terrible, all the monetized ones, like the stupid-ass card game that looks pretty, the Blades and all that, they're all the studios are the ZeniMax studios. What was ZeniMax? They were a magazine publisher that happened to buy Bethesda years and years and years ago. So they're trying to pump it out because they're like, our magazine isn't making shit, and we need money, so get us paid, bitch. And they're stuck with, well, here's our corporate overlord saying we have to pump out games. Remember, I got my Xbox One X for $420 when it was supposed to be $599 because it was the one that was bundled with the physical copy of Fallout 76, to the point where I went, got it, traded the game in immediately, got an extra $10. They gave me an extra thumb grips and all this stuff that I wasn't even supposed to get with any other system, only if you bought that system, because they could not get rid of them. They sold it at like a 30% discount when the store was actually losing money on it. Not only that, the system's good. My system is the only edition of the Xbox One X that comes in white. Everything else is black.
Well, there is a Fortnite one that comes in purple now.
But... yeah, Fortnite purple one. But I'm willing to bet that like it's me and all the warehouses that have this edition of the console.
Although, so, here's something that I kind of want to know about Fallout 76. Because the game was heavily discounted, the game was released on November 14th of last year. It was discounted on Black Friday. It was then further discounted towards Christmas. Most retailers have it for $35 now. I want to know, is that price going to come back up as the Wastelanders expansion comes out in September or October of this year?
At EB Games, it's $10.
See, I don't know.
And not only that, it's $10 used. The new copies were clearancing out. You can't even buy them on the website anymore.
I do not see how Fallout 76 can maintain a user base because nobody buys things from the Atomic Shop.
No.
That which is supposed to be cosmetic only, which it is not now. You can buy repair kits to fix your stuff if you don't want to go looking for adhesives or screws or stuff like that.
It's pay to win.
But here's the thing, though.
Cheering. Who in that crowd actually likes playing that?
I will go back and try Fallout 76 again when Wastelanders comes out, because I want to see the quest line
I
want to see how it's going to go. But ultimately, this is too little too late.
Well, here's the thing. If the argument of those people in the crowd being influencers, what influencer wants to play a game that nobody watches?
I watch a lot of Fallout YouTubers, so you would be surprised.
But I'm saying, if they're trying to make money off of doing this as a business, that's not a game you want to be cheering. You want to be cheering something like Fortnite or an Apex that has a chance. This doesn't have a chance to even, like, it's going to have, what, like 1% of the market, if that?
I don't know. I think one of the things I noticed, and this was talked about in the Bethesda roadmap for Fallout 76, is they talked about private servers and mods.
Yeah.
Funny how that wasn't mentioned in this conference, and that doesn't surprise me because the game has lost so much traction. There is a community there playing this. They're very active on Reddit. They're very active on YouTube. Like, I watch YouTubers like Demon Asylum and Juicehead and Gopher, and they play these games, and the community is obviously there. But if I'm going to play Fallout 76, I'm going to play it with mods. I'm going to play on a private server. I want, and it sucks, I'm probably going to end up paying for that private server. I'll pay for it for a month so I can experience all of Fallout 76 by myself, be left alone.
Yeah.
So I can play the game the way I want to play it. And Bethesda's going to sucker me that way.
Yeah.
Other
than that, like the conference there, they showed off
Ghostwire Tokyo,
which looked fantastic. The best
game. Which looks
there.
Amazing. And actually, that girl that came out who designed it, I can't pronounce her name.
Yes, I know.
People are calling her one of the best things to come out of E3. The best three things to come out of E3 were Keanu Reeves, that game designer girl and the dog from the Ubisoft conference.
Yeah, well, because she came off as genuine. She looked nervous, but then she handled herself well.
She was so happy.
And kudos, anytime that a Japanese developer comes out and does their best to speak the native language of the show, like, too often, like, here's my, I was talking to my roommate, Miyamoto. He's worked in the States. He lived in the States in the 70s and 80s when they were setting up Nintendo America. He's worked with Americans for 40 fucking years and can't speak a word of English during a press conference. Like, that to me just spells arrogance or not caring to learn. Whereas this guy, he was a Capcom guy before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He spoke, while not really broken English, but he did his best to speak English and he was conversational. Same with her. That should be a requirement if you're coming out to do a presentation and you're making a Western themed game. Like, even though it takes place in Tokyo, it's very, very much geared for the West. So I was very appreciative that they came out and did that and did their best. And she was fantastic. And the game is like, what if, you know,
the rapture happened in Japan? That's,
yeah,
what that, if the rapture that, happened that was in the Japan? Vibe
exactly.
I got
exactly. And some of the best graphics I've ever seen from a Japanese studio.
Yeah, it looked really impressive. I'm looking forward to seeing when that gets dated. We'll probably find out more next year, or maybe at Gamescom. We'll just have to wait and see.
And then Deathloop was the other one.
Deathloop looked really cool. Again, concept video, no gameplay. Once that gets dated, it's neat.
It's gone wild on Twitter because it's like one of the first games to have several protagonists that are minorities. And it's like, I didn't think about that because I was like, wait a minute. There's been more. It's like, but there hasn't been that many of a high caliber.
Yeah, so many that are from like a AAA publisher. Yeah.
Exactly. So, we got to keep our eye on and see what that's going to be like. The rest of the show, bleh.
Like Doom Eternal, really?
Doom Eternal, we've seen everything about it already.
Yeah, but the fact that it got dated, there's new modes, that looks fucking fantastic.
That's cool, but that to me, that's not a buy it from them, but that's a buy it on Stadia sort of game.
I'll probably buy it, although they did show off the collector's edition. I'm once bitten, twice shy, because I still have my Fallout 76 collector's edition with the helmet, and you do get the Doom Slayer helmet. Okay, that's cool, but the Fallout helmet looks cooler. You're not getting me twice.
So, I mean, that was their show, and then we had the Devolver Digital, which was ridiculous. Just briefly for them, it was...
The arcade machine.
Arcade
Enter machine. The Gungeon.
It's 5,000 US, but as crazy as you might think that sounds, arcade machines were generally $9,000 to $10,000 when they were built. And this is built not as a home unit. This is built the way arcade units were built, like for the last 35 years. So,
yeah, like this is an actual arcade cab with guns and everything.
The
kind of
thing that, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, all the Dave and Buster's decide to buy them.
Probably.
And if you have a local arcade that wants to get a marquee item, this is one of the things they could get. You can buy it for yourself if you truly want to, but I think it's pretty cool. They're really in touch with what their market is. And their market is people from the ages of 25 to 40. And
who like weird stuff.
Who grew up with the arcades and missed them. Who like the weird stuff. The Rick and Morty audience. That's basically what Devolver is.
The one game they showed off that I think looks really cool, kind of gave off this whole in the wall / Wipeout vibe, was a game called Fall Guy, where it's versus 100 people in an obstacle course. That looks fun.
And then Carrion is beautiful, the reverse horror game where it's like a reverse Cronenberg, where you're the like
you're the monster.
You're the monster, or like the thing. It's like you're the thing sort of thing.
Yeah, that looked pretty neat.
I think that was pretty much it. They had a couple titles they showed off, but the genius of their knockoff,
their bootleg
game.
That was funny.
Hotline Milwaukee, that alone makes me want to play because it's like Hotline Miami, Hotline Milwaukee, and all I can think of is please have that 70s show references in there or something.
I want Hotline like Portland or something like that. Hotline Oregon.
Hotline Sudbury. It's like, oh boy.
That would be fun.
But yeah, that was their show and that was it. And then, like, that's basically at this point, the
first day.
That's the first half of the conferences are done.
Yeah.
Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi! So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
And then moving into the second day, we had E3's, one of the always entertaining, you can always count on that, and that was Ubisoft. Ubisoft
First was PC. Yeah, like there was a VR thing, which was kind of cool. There was a couple games there that I spoke about, but they're not really worth talking about here.
Nothing in the PC thing really stood out to me, but it wasn't bad.
No, for the first time, I didn't fall asleep watching it. And the guy wasn't as stoned this year as he was previous years. He was like, last year was like, hey, guys.
Yeah, he was very out of his element. It was very strange.
Yeah, it was a lot better. The ones that they showed off were Vampire the Masquerade.
Which looked very cool.
They showed that. There was a... I can't remember the name of it, but there was a title that was like an Age of Empires game, but you could play as either a raptor that had a mech suit on.
I know the game you're talking about.
Something Planetfall.
Planetside, I think it was what it was called.
Or Planetside is the Sony game, but it's something Planetfall.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, there was that. They showed off a bunch of indie titles. I do like the variety of indie titles out there. Then they showed
Chivalry
off,
2.
Chivalry 2, okay. Zombie War 4. All these
Zombie things. Army 4
Zombie,
or something?
Zombie Army 4. I think the big thing to come out of it, though, was probably the Vampire game. They focused a fair bit on that. But yeah, that's it for that. And then we have the Ubi show, which was good.
Yeah, Ubi was very entertaining. They led with Watch Dogs Legion, which got leaked a couple days beforehand, which kind of sucks, but I like how...
I didn't even know about it. I didn't read any news beforehand or anything. So I was sitting there, and I was just like, why am I already at half-mast? Oh, because this is an amazing-looking game.
It looks amazing. You can play as anybody. It's a dystopian London, which is basically after Brexit. It's like a police state. You can play as assassin grandmothers. You can play as, like, cop soccer players.
There will be streams of people trying to beat the entire game only using her for everything.
That's my plan. I'm going to create the Golden Girls like soccer players. So it's going to be FIFA and soccer girls.
Did they mention if we can play, if it's only single player, if we can come in co-op to help?
I didn't hear that.
I think it's just single player because we would totally do the Twig Golden Girls. Like, you know what would happen. But the big thing from it was it looks like you can recruit people that are even terrible. So yeah. Like if somebody, it'll have a thing there saying likelihood of death 100%. That if you use that person, they'll die.
Yeah, I saw that. It says, addicted to adrenaline, may die randomly, but he has 100% damage boost. So I was like, that's pretty cool, but he just dropped dead on me.
The big thing is, not everybody acts the same or walks the same. The granny, for instance, she's 78, it says. So she would have been, they said, retired spy. So she's from the Cold War. She's basically like James Bond from the 60s. And I do like that she hobbles when she walks because she's got bad knees and hips.
I saw a gameplay stream of her.
Yeah.
It was Victor Lucas, and I guess he captured footage. He played an hour as the grandmother, and he was telling us how it's harder to get over fences. You have to run around. You get, like, a stun gun.
Yeah, the difference is it looks like there's balances to that. She doesn't get noticed as much. So she can even be walking around with a gun, and people don't notice her because she's so unassuming. But at the same time, if you get into a tight combat situation, she's 78. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to go well.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing the story. Like, Watch Dogs is one of my favorite IPs of this generation. I played the first two games a lot. I love the soundtracks. I love the hacking action. I love DedSec. In fact, recently, I just found my Watch Dogs hat in the first game, which was a piece of swag I got sent to him. I used to have the Aiden Pierce face mask, but I lost it. But I still have my hat from the first game, and I've been wearing that a lot recently. So I'm really looking forward to playing this. It comes out in March of next year. Yeah. It looks fantastic.
Oh, and it's, you know, to segue a little bit into it, it's going to be part of that new service they announced, which is Uplay Plus, which it's going to cost $20 Canadian. So I'm assuming it's about $15 American. Mm-hmm. And it's the equivalent of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate or Ultra. So you'll get it. You'll get the Ultimate Edition of the game too. And it will stack with Google Stadia. They announced that. It's a big get for them, having one of the biggest publishers in the world. No word yet on how it'll tier, but if the past is anything to go by, when you get these multiple tiered systems, for instance, if you have Amazon Prime for video, they now launched a service in Canada and the States where you can get other things that say, you know, Shudder is like, what, $4 a month, $5 a month?
Mm-hmm.
You can get it for 50% off if you're already a Prime subscriber. You can get like the Movie Network, which is what, regularly $20 a month. You can get it for like $11.99. So they might do a system where instead of paying $20 a month, it'll be like $14 or something. So either way, if you have Stadia and the Uplay, you'll be able to get the game in like full, you know, 4K. I want to play this on PC in like max settings. I want to see what you can do as the granny in 4K. So they announced that, which means that, you know, it's basically going to be a day one play for me. They did show off, I wanted to specifically say this, they showed off Just Dance, which normally in the past I would have been like, oh geez, but last year I got a game copy of it for review and I actually loved it. But the big news here, no more Wii U, unfortunately, or 360, but there is a Wii physical copy.
And I found out why. Because a lot of healthcare facilities and hospitals,
yes,
use them to build up strength for, yes, patients.
My mother works at a government retirement home sponsored, and they use them for their activities director because you can actually, in the Wii versions, they have settings you can set specifically for seniors and people with mobility issues where you can sit in a chair and do it and it still will register. So there's like, if you're in a wheelchair, if you have bad hips, if you can't move as fast, they actually have extra settings in the Wii version to cater to that market. So
I think they do in the other versions, do they not?
They do as of last year. They allowed you to use a phone or anything. You could cater it. There's different settings, but they've been getting more and more
inclusive with that.
For that. So I wouldn't even be surprised if we have another one next year, as long as Nintendo will license them the ability to print the discs, because Nintendo is the one that ultimately prints those discs. And it's kind of crazy that we're talking 13 years after the system came out, and I believe 5 years since the system ended, we're still getting games, and it's not sports titles. so that's
amazing.
I'm debating, I'm like, do you pre-order it just so you can get, you know, what potentially could be the last game for the system? Or do you just wait and see? But I think it's really cool. I mean, there is no digital copy of it, obviously, because there's no Wii Store anymore. But the fact that you can still get it, like, it would be the kind of thing where maybe your grandma has a copy and she can play it with her grandkids. It's kind of cool. I like that idea. So they showed off a fair chunk with John Bernthal of the Ghost Recon game.
Which comes out September again, yeah, which is really, really soon.
And that's also a Uplay Plus thing, as well as Stadia. It is neat seeing another company's logo at the bottom of those screens when they finish those trailers now. You know, it'll be like PS4, Xbox One, PC, Stadia. And you're like, what? It's weird seeing that. Like, I'm almost hoping that Sega comes back just so I can see their logo at the bottom of the screen again. Now, the game looks cool. It was already revealed earlier. Not much we really have to say about that. They showed off expansions for a lot of their previous titles that are already out, like that are in their multi-year tiers, like
Rainbow Six, Year 4.
Division 2. But then they showed off something that I thought was an expansion for Rainbow Six, but it's the brand new Rainbow Six game.
And which is a PvE title called Rainbow Six Quarantine.
Yeah, and it's almost like it could be supernatural. It could also be hallucinogenic. Like, there's different... They haven't shown much except for a cinematic video.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what they do with the Tom Clancy license with this one. I like the fact that it is a... PvE as opposed to PvP, so and then I'm sure that'll be really popular with streamers.
It's a very different thing, because what they're showing is they're not canceling, like, this is not going to replace the current Rainbow Six game. They're viewing that Rainbow Six game as like a living game that will live potentially forever with new seasons and new years, because its core gameplay just works. It is the pure realistic shooter. And then they're going to have, you know, stuff that uses that engine but veers away from that so they can cater to a different audience. So that's kind of cool. I don't think there was there anything else major they showed before?
There was Gods and Monsters, which is how they ended their conference,
which is odd.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't go out on saying Assassin's Creed next year or whatever.
One thing to mention about Legion was that it was developed by Ubisoft Toronto, so the studio that did Starlink. So my biggest fear was that Starlink didn't do well, no matter how great it was, and it was fantastic. It's $20 retail right now. Pick it up. Is that they were going to shut them down, but instead they were already working on Legion, and that game's going to sell like gangbusters, so they're not in any trouble at all. But yeah, that Quebec studio, I thought that when they brought out the studio head or the company head, that he was going to have Miyamoto come out and they were going to do, you know, another crossover game for the third time in a row. But no, they announced this, and when I saw the trailer, I was like, wait, maybe it is a crossover. Is it Kid Icarus? Because it had that sort of style. But then I saw it and I'm like, this looks kind of, to be honest, really shitty. Like the
I don't know. It looks like Legend of Zelda meets right. Greek mythology.
Why does it look like...
Looks like Assassin's Creed if it was like done Wii for title. Like little kids.
It looks like a Wii title, though, like the graphics.
I want to see gameplay before I make any definitive decisions on it.
That's true, but my thing was, like, this was not the game you should have ended with.
Yeah, that should have been sort of mid-tier in the middle.
The reason I thought it was odd the way it ended, they didn't show any, like, thing at the end.
Beyond Good and Evil?
There was no teaser, there was nothing. They showed that, and then it just cut to the outside feed of some dude rapping, and I'm like, who the hell are you? Like, it didn't make any sense.
One of the things that surprised me from Ubisoft is there was no update on Beyond Good and Evil 2. Nope. Nothing on Skull and Crossbones.
I think that's vaporware at this point.
I think so too, which is unfortunate. And I think Skull and Crossbones, Beyond Good and Evil is going to come out because they've sunk too much goddamn money into it.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the Final Fantasy VII remake. My guess is you'll see something happen with it next year at E3, but I guess they had nothing significant to show off this year.
If they weren't going to end it with a Nintendo crossover, you know what it should have ended with?
What?
It should have ended with one screenshot of just the Splinter Cell goggles,
and just that flicking sound where he's gone into night vision.
Or it would have been
the fuck is with that mobile game?
Or like completely, it could have been a completely black screen with, and then just have the sound effect of the night vision turn on, and hear like Michael Ironside's voice say one word, like going in or something like that.
And then that's
all you would have needed.
Yeah, like, I mean, I was okay with the guy they brought in to be the quote-unquote new Sam Fisher, but yeah, I want Michael Ironside back if I can. But yeah, it was such a weird way to end that, and I was also, I think there was more stuff for Trials Fusion, or whatever it is, there's like another season coming out, but it wasn't really promoted, so yay, I guess.
It was uneven. It had a really good show overall, and they showed a ton of gameplay. Compared to other companies, but
it was one of the best press conferences I saw all week.
I think
it was solid from start to finish.
It had a very poor ending, and it had a very odd ending. Like, it was very haphazard. Like, they just ended. It didn't go to like a montage or anything. And it cut to that guy outside. He didn't look prepared.
Yeah, it's almost like something was missing from that. But I would give Ubisoft a solid B.
Yeah.
Overall, if I had to rank them.
Yeah, and then we had the Square Enix came after.
Which I missed because I was watching the Raptors game where we should have fucking won.
And you know what? I was sitting there like, when I did my podcast, I said, this better be fucking good because I'm missing one of the most important games. And I'm not a sports guy. But when you have a team that I've followed as a kid that never won anything is getting to the point where they could be national champions and like with our only team that we have in basketball, I was hyped. So luckily, this is the best Square Enix presentation they've ever done. In the past, last year, I don't even think they had one. The year before that, they
did have one last year because that's where they showed off The Quiet Man.
But wasn't it like...
it was very weird and very short.
It was like a direct and very... And they've done it in the past where it's been in like a small, like a ballroom, like a conference room.
It was very small.
In front of like 30 press people, and then it streamed. This was like as big as Ubisoft, if not bigger. And the crowd was actually lit, but not... It didn't sound like fake clapping. Like, people were genuinely happy to see all the things on the stage.
Because I think people were wondering, what is Square going to show this year? Because Square has given us a lot of promises over the years.
Yeah.
And they've not necessarily delivered on all fronts.
And I was a little confused as how they presented Final Fantasy. But now that things have settled, they have split the game up into probably three or four, probably four games. So I thought maybe they were going to do it like per disc. But it's they're ending this at about 40% through what would have been the first disc in the first game, or the first, in Final Fantasy VII. But I was like, so they're splitting a 100-hour game into four parts. I'm only going to get 20 hours for $80. It's not what they're doing. They're
it's going to be a complete title.
All of the lore that they, for like all of the books, the mangas, all of the
movies, you
know, movies,
Crisis Core,
everything that's ever been written or played is being incorporated into the game. So what would take, like, instead of being a 100-hour game, if you were to release it all as one gigantic game, it'd be like a 500-hour game. So they are going to split it up into multiple editions, but you're going to get a full experience, because the one thing they mentioned was they don't want the grind of the old games where, yes, you know, the game took 70 hours to beat, but 50 hours was grinding in battles. The idea is they want to keep the flow moving so you never feel like you're stuck in an area for too long. So they're filling in extra things. So if you're a new player, you get a brand new experience. If you're an old player, you get to see the things you love while getting to experience it as one complete story that's never been done before.
Yeah, so you get to see how things have changed over the 30 years or whatever.
As long as they release these on a yearly basis. There's no reason not to.
Here's where I think it's going to come into problems. Now that they have the engine built and the combat mechanics kind of figured out, because they just said in an interview in Variety this past week, they said, we don't know what's going to happen next. We honestly have no idea. How do we split this up? We don't know.
I know in my head where the logical breaking points are.
But here's the thing, though, because when you play the first game, or when you go back and play Final Fantasy VII, Midgar is one point of the game. It's very cyberpunk. It's very steampunky city, whatever, right? When you go into Nibelheim and whatever the name of the other...
Cosmo Canyon,
it's a very open fantasy, Final Fantasy type world. How do you transition that tonal shift?
It depends on how they present it, but I want to see they can do the overworld. It can be done in that style. All they have to, because now they know, they already showed how they can scale things by zooming, so they can do it. What I think will happen is
you'll be able to go back to Midgar.
Well, I have a feeling you only go into two or three sections of Midgar in the original game anyway. I think in this version you're going to get to go to more.
My guess is because they're not going to want to throw out all those Midgar assets.
No.
And they've already said this is not going to be a one-to-one remake.
No. So what's going to happen is the second game, as far as plot line, is going to take place from when you leave and you go... Remember, you're following Sephiroth. You go to the north and then you go... Or you're not following Sephiroth. You're just escaping. And then you go through that canyon that has the snakes and you see Sephiroth had impaled them and blah, blah, blah. You make it your way to Cosmo Canyon, Niflheim, and then it's going to end right at the ancient
cave of the ancients
where Aerith dies.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So that'll be the first two games. Then the third game will be all of Disc 2, because all of Disc 2 is the outside edges of everything, and that's where it got to be a lot more grindy before. So they'll incorporate that, and I think there's going to be a fourth one, and that'll be everything that was on the third disc, because the third disc already was padded out a fair bit before with just side missions and shit.
It was the cave. That's all it really was.
Yeah. So, and what they'll do there is that's where you'll beat the game, and that's where they'll incorporate Advent Children. I guarantee you they're going to include the movie stuff. And if they're smart... Somewhere along the line, maybe even in this game, maybe not in this game, but they're going to incorporate Crisis Core somehow. The origin.
Well, yeah, because a lot of Disc 2 was a lot of the backstory was Zack and Cloud.
I think the backstory of Zack is not going to be those couple flashbacks. I think the backstory, that section, will be the entire Crisis Core game, or condensed down. It won't be like where Zach is spending 20 hours doing normal missions. It'll be the mission leading up to his death.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's exciting to think that things finally been dated.
Exactly. And they showed off the combat system. Looks fantastic. It's a hybrid between the system in 15, but not as crazy tactical, like where you have to jump around and block and stuff. And then as you attack, you build up your meters, and then it goes into the command system that you would be used to, where it goes to like a wait mode. And I know you're going to be able to set your option settings, you'll probably be able to set how fast that builds based on your difficulty level. So if you're playing on easy, it'll build faster because you can do more moves faster. If you're playing it on hard, it'll take a lot longer to do that, and you'll probably have to do more tactical gameplay. So it's kind of cool. Looks great. Graphics are fantastic. A lot of dialogue between people. Bosses are significantly longer in that, not boring longer, but like they have more patterns, more exciting things happen, dynamic battlefields. Looks great. That's all I can say. And the crowd went crazy for it. It's a day one buy for me. I've already pre-ordered it because on Walmart in Canada and the States, they've got an E3 deal. It's $52 right now to pre-order in Canada, which is regularly $80. So
I'm probably going to pre-order the digital collector's edition. Yeah. Now there is a soldier first class edition, which is like $300-$400. You're basically paying for a statue.
Yeah,
I'm good.
And the other stuff in the digital deluxe edition, if it's only $10 more, get it because it's a couple summons. It's nothing really fantastic, and you get a soundtrack. But I don't need to get the soundtrack because Spotify now has every Final Fantasy song in all of Square Enix's library.
They're going to redo them.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, that's cool. They announced that. They announced a bunch of other RPGs, like the Secret of Mana series now has, even the one that wasn't released here on the Super Nintendo, sets in Dedeku 3, is now called Trials of Mana. It's coming out here, which they said wasn't going to happen. It launched the day they showed it. $50 for the trilogy, though, and that's only because they actually had to translate a new game, right? So, but they're remaking.
But it's been translated since like 2001. Though.
They can't use a fan translated version. The
ROM, of course, yeah.
So, and it's a new translation, and they even fixed some errors and stuff. So cool, great. But that third game is also getting a brand new. I thought it was like a remake, like the Secret of Mana was when it went on mobile, and then it came to Switch, where it was like basically 3DS graphics.
Yeah.
No, it's getting a full remake from the ground up, just like in the same graphical style as Dragon Quest XI. So, and it's a Switch exclusive. So that's cool. They showed off again some mobile titles that nobody really gives a shit about. Let's be honest, they're cash grabs. They showed off Romancing Saga 3 is getting remastered. So a lot of classic indie RPGs are coming out, or classic RPGs. A few indie titles from their indie studio, and then they finished off with the big game, which is Avengers.
Which looks boring to me.
I saw a bunch of gameplay. It looks good. The problem with it, they're horribly behind schedule. Crystal Dynamics just didn't really know how to do it. So in the last year, they brought in Eidos Montreal, which is the Deus Ex studio. They weren't on stage to talk about it, but more and more I read about it, it's been in development hell since they announced it.
Everybody that I've talked to who's actually played the demo has said it feels off. Something feels weird. And one of the memes that's making the internet right now, where it says, and it's got the caption from Spaceballs, it's got Colonel Sanders. He's like, "You idiots, you captured their stunt doubles." Because I guess they didn't want to pay the MCU likeness rights, although that's what the character costumes are based off of.
Yeah.
It just, it feels very...
From what I hear, it wasn't playable till the Deus Ex team came on board. So it's because the problem was Crystal Dynamics was split between doing that and
the Tomb Raider games.
Yes. You can't do two titles that size and magnitude on your own. So my guess is there's going to be significant retooling done by Montreal to fix it. Because they've done nothing but fantastic games since they were purchased. Because I was wondering, where the hell's the third Deus Ex they've been teasing? Well, they were working on it, and guess who had to stop working on it? Because Avengers needed help, right? So, that being said, I did like that they came out and said DLC is completely free, all characters, expansions, everything. They're going to absorb the cost on that, because they kind of have to. It's a goodwill gesture, and it's an exclusive title. So,
and I think they also
it's a timed exclusive title.
And they also made the point to say there is no pay to win mechanics or loot boxes.
Yeah, very smart.
I love how that has to be a thing now, which is
marketing. I mean, just to say it. So they ended very strong. It's probably one of the best presentations that they've ever done. It was one of the best at the show.
It's one of the best. It's from what I've seen. Again, I haven't seen the whole press conference. I've seen it condensed.
Yeah.
It's probably one of their best ever. Which is saying a lot, and also, I kind of wish it showed off more gameplay this year, but the fact that you had Final Fantasy VII and you dated it, that's what gives you a massive pass this year.
Final Fantasy VII took up about 15 minutes of gameplay, so they showed a fair amount.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that was over, and we were able to call it a night. The Raptors lost right after. I was able to watch them lose. Did I curse them, do you think?
Oh, fucking 1 point and one possession. They fucked around.
What happened was they got greedy. And it's like,
yep.
they kept trying to go for 3 points.
It's like, 3 pointers. Yep. Just get a 2-pointer and call it a day.
Or you know what they could have done? They had 2 minutes left. They could have played it easy and just been passing it around and dribbling and just held off because they were at a lead. But no, everybody wants to just go for go for broke. And it's like, dude. Do what they do in hockey and just keep passing back and forth.
Well, they couldn't have because of the shot clock, but still. That's true. Point of the matter is, they fucked around.
Yeah, that's true.
They shouldn't have lost.
And they're playing tonight. They better fucking win.
Yeah, I'm hoping tonight that we can totally take down them at the Oracle Center, because I think that'd be fantastic.
How great would that be? But they got to get bodyguards to get out. But anyway, yeah. And then, you know, then we finally had a night to rest, and I was starting to lose my voice, and I slept in till like 5 minutes before the Nintendo Direct. And then I basically came all over myself because, oh my God, was that a good Direct?
Nintendo very rarely has a bad Direct when it comes to E3 stuff. You may have boring ones, but you never have a bad one. This year was very good. A lot of people were really happy. We got 2 Smash Brothers announcements. We got the heroes from the Dragon Quest series. We got Banjo-Kazooie, who's finally been revealed to play, yeah. Which Xbox says, hell, use them, man. It's great marketing for us. You want them, party on.
Apparently they always were okay with it. It's just Nintendo didn't contact them about it. So, yeah, I mean, great for them. It opens the door for, like, Master Chief.
Or Battletoads.
Yeah, that would be... Actually, that's a better fit.
Because I think Battletoads would be great, because then you could just use Rash Toads, yeah. Or Rash Zits and Pimple as... Echo Fighters, kind of like Richter, yeah, and Simon.
Some people have said, why not Turtles? But you got to remember, Sakurai has said only video game original characters. He doesn't want anything from other media.
So I will never get my wish of Goku, which is unfortunate.
And you won't get like a Terminator, and you won't get that sort of stuff.
Which, by the way, what is with the marketing this year and Terminator Dark Fate?
It's in everything.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, here's, you know, this movie is going to do well and way better than Genesis in that my mom says she wants to see it. I showed her the trailer for Genesis and she said that looked hokey. And I actually like Genesis, but she was right. She watches the trailer that they cut together for Genesis and she goes, this looks so good. And she, even though I explained to her that James Cameron isn't directing, he's producing, that's enough for her to say, well, it's going to be taken seriously now. So,
but like, he also produced Genesis and Dark Fate. I don't know who the director is offhand.
It's Tim Miller, the guy that did Deadpool.
Deadpool? Oh, okay. Well, then yeah. It might be okay then.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but they were in there's an expansion pack or skin pack or something for
Ghost Gears, Recon and Gears.
And there's like, there okay. Hints of it at the end of the Devolver Digital trailer. Like there's a whole bunch. Like, yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. But then Nintendo shows off a little more of everything. You got a little more Pokemon. You got a little more of the Fire Emblem. There was nothing on Town, the game that was they showed off last year that was supposed to come out this year, based on the new engine that Game Freak was developing for that little RPG.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll see something later on in the year, because it was apparently fairly far along in development before they start revealing stuff. A lot of Square Enix stuff. Final Fantasy VIII.
Remastered, which is kind of funny, because the Final Fantasy VIII, from what I've read, I understand the original source files are lost.
They are.
So they must have rebuilt this right from the ground up.
They lost that. They thought they lost the PC version, which was already buggy as shit anyway back in the late 90s. but they found the source for the PC version and built it on that. So they had some code to work with. They didn't have to reverse engineer anything. So yay, I guess. They showed off Crystal Chronicles, the Dragon Quest 11 special edition based on the one that came out last year.
PS4, yeah.
Fantastic. Added a whole bunch more stuff, orchestral score. There's like a list of like 500 things they changed, which is fantastic. I might have to check it out. They also showed off
Astral Chain,
which looks great. That's a day
one. And dated it. Witcher 3 also got a port.
Daemon X Machina.
Yep, that also got dated for later on this year.
It is an extremely crowded last week of August to September.
Yeah, one of the reasons I think Nintendo wins E3 this year, a lot of stuff is dated, a lot of stuff is showed off gameplay,
yes.
And you don't have to wait more than a year or two. More than a year. The only title that's maybe a year or two out is the Zelda Breath of the Wild sequel.
That's probably 2 years.
Yeah, so Nintendo didn't have anything that wasn't coming out in the next fiscal year.
Anything that wasn't coming out within a year of E3.
Yeah, like that's amazing.
None of that. There is basically a two titles from them a month, which is crazy. So there's The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
Which looks amazing. I may actually buy that, that comes out in September. I'm thinking about it.
I'm debating it.
It looks cool, and it's the one title I never played back in the day, because I fell out of Zelda around the time the Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask came out. I actually had a fan on Twitter ask me what I thought about it, and I'm thinking I may actually have to check it out. There's also another game. I having a conversation on Twitter with a fan, and they're asking me what I think of Cadence of Hyrule, where it's rhythm game. Yeah. Which looks really weird. That's, I'm thinking this looks kind of cool.
Nintendo has given a first party property out to an indie studio to make.
So it's only $25 on the eShop, and I'm kind of thinking about it.
So they've got that. Other big announcements. A new Contra.
And they also said, by the way, it's out today.
No, that was the collection.
Yeah, the collection was out today, but Contra Rogue Core is coming soon.
Yep. You have those. That was a pretty big surprise. There were a few other titles that were announced as well, but nothing.
Empire of Sin, which is like this weird shooter.
Mario and Sonic, the Olympic Games. There was much more shown of Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Bunch of download packs. Looks great, actually.
Dated for next month.
Yep. The end of the month. That's going to be pretty big. One thing that I was hoping would come to multi-platform, but it looks like it's only coming to Xbox, was Phantasy Star Online 2, which is cool. Pokemon Sword and Shield was shown more, obviously.
One of the things that surprised me, and a lot of people were really speculating this, especially with Persona 5 Royal coming out next year, that the Switch would get a port. Evidently, it's not.
Yeah,
which genuinely surprised me. So it's always going to be a PlayStation 4 exclusive. And I guess, Atlas, you've got my money, because I love Persona 5.
It might be that the mainline titles are only available on there through a deal. There was The Last Remnant Remastered coming to the Switch.
That's out now, isn't it?
I think so. Animal Crossing, they showed off a bunch of that.
And that's title 2. To make note of, because Doug Bowser, the new president of Nintendo, or the guy who took over for Reggie, either way, had said, we're going to delay this title so the workers don't get burned out. We want them to have a good work-life balance. And the fact that Nintendo is calling out the culture of people like Epic, of people like Bethesda, of people like Rockstar, that's huge. That's a shot across. That's a shot across the bow.
Oh, and not too much. Well, they have plenty of titles. A bunch of indie stuff was shown. Things that were being ported over from other systems. Cool. The big one was The Witcher is actually going to work. Witcher 3 is actually going to work, which nobody thought would ever work on that system.
Although, as far as I know, it only plays at 540p, but whatever.
Locked at 30. But the fact that it works, period.
It's also kind of amazing. One of the weirder titles that got ported, I would never have expected this. Alien Isolation.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to mention that because that's, yeah, I was like, baby,
weird.
Right?
Yeah, I was like, weird, but okay. Hey, you get to experience Amanda Ripley getting chased by a xenomorph. So
yeah, that was pretty much their show. There were other things, like there was a new Tales game announced, multi-platform that I would like. The odd announcement that came randomly just like yesterday or the day before is Konami is putting out a TurboGrafx-16 mini.
Which I question.
I am super into it because it's going to come with some of the CD-based games too. So if you can
which
hack
is
the
good.
Shit out of it, that'll be amazing.
I'm very over the whole mini system thing.
I am not. The reason is most of those Pi emulators and things you do yourself have trouble with TurboGrafx-16 and the CD. It's not quite 100% emulated properly, or the audio isn't right. So what I want to see is, are they going to make it a 100% perfect emulator? Because what's more important here is if they do, people can hack the system and then find out what makes that emulator work. And then you've got an emulator that finally works on everything.
Now, one of the things I will say I do like about the TurboGrafx-16 Mini is you're getting three different releases of it. You get TurboGrafx over here, you get PC Engine in Japan, and whatever the Europe one was.
The Europe one is the same as ours. But
no, it's a different casing. There are three different cases. Yeah,
that casing is the second design that was used in Japan. I looked it up. That one has the same games as the US release.
Okay.
The Japanese one has a few different games. They haven't announced Bonk here, but they've announced it over there, which means we're going to get it. They're just waiting to announce the big ones. My concern is, are they only going to announce 16 games because it's TurboGrafx-16? Or they announced six titles. Are they going to announce like a total of 30 or something? You know, are they going to announce
honestly,
titles every month or something?
It better be something fucking fantastic, because the Sega Genesis Classic looks amazing.
Oh,
its games are out now.
It's down to $79 for pre-orders instead of $99.
Totally worth it. Ridiculously worth it.
I pre-ordered that and I'm whittling away on it every few weeks. I'm putting like $10 down because that game, that system done by M2 is fantastic. They're doing all the Sega Ages ports to the Switch that I've been reviewing, mm-hmm. and they're flawless. So, and the only other thing that was kind of odd that came out in the Nintendo one was from Netflix Games, the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance Final Fantasy Tactics sort of clone.
Yeah, that's... I suspect if the series does well, this game will sell well.
Yeah. Well, even if it doesn't, it has that built-in audience of people that love Final Fantasy Tactics, and it has that a very much that design, only... almost looks like claymation, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I just never thought I'd see a Muppets based game,
let alone an RPG.
Yeah, so good work on you.
There were other things announced, but we're not really talking about things that only had like here's coming in 2 years or anything. There was a lot of stuff that they did show, but a lot of things that were like just a screenshot in that we're not bothering talking about because that's too far.
One of the things that surprised me, and I'm honestly surprised they didn't do this, but I guess they replaced it with the Zelda thing, because I know recently they had to restart development on Metroid 4.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't say anything, but Breath of the Wild 2, that's pretty cool. I honestly never saw that coming. And
that's true. I mean, it's overall one of the best years as far as the amount of content. I think people complained there weren't that many oh my god surprises. There were. The difference is there was a lot of stuff that was, you know, teased last year that they're finally showing. So it's not like it was a big surprise to us.
I don't know. In my opinion, this year was a very E3 because we're at the end of the console generation, which means all the big stuff will be next year.
Very true.
We'll see more Halo.
I was disappointed that Sony didn't do anything, but don't be surprised if in the next couple of weeks Sony just comes out of the gate with a new
State of play,
and like basically completely fucks over everybody else by like showing off what the system looks like, showing off a bunch of other games. I was surprised that
something before Gamescom.
Well, not guaranteed. Only was their presence not even there, like for their conference, they didn't have any games on the show floor. So, even the games that are supposed to be coming out, like Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima, which is supposed to, I think they're supposed to be this year.
There's Last of Us 2 will not be out on this generation.
No.
However, that being said, I don't know how true this is. I saw a post on Facebook where I think it was from Naughty Dog that showed Last of Us 2 running on a PlayStation 4 menu. But then again, that could have very easily been doctored.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know.
I mean, it's hard to tell, but I think they're going to do something. They're going to have to do something in the next couple weeks because this could bite them in the ass. Like, I know analysts are saying that it might kick them. Like, I think they're doing this to test the waters to see if it affects their stocks by not showing up at the conference. But
again, they only have to kill time until Gamescom, which is the end of August.
Yeah.
So it's a month out, whatever.
And Gamescom is much more of the traditional. It's bigger as far as people that go there.
Yeah.
But it still behaves much more like a traditional trade show where you're actually meeting with like the buyers for big companies that are going to sell your games.
Mm-hmm.
So that still exists at E3, but it's been diminishing in the last like 12 years or so.
Well, yeah, because the people that run E3, they've openly said they have problems running it. They actually tried to sell it to the same people that run Wizard World and I think Penny Arcade Expo.
Yeah.
They've had some problems.
Gamescom is the like Tokyo
it's more Game industry.
Show, Tokyo Game Show is industry, but Gamescom is like people don't think of it. It's much bigger than E3. E3 is just our ecosphere and then the North American stuff. But Gamescom is getting bigger and bigger. Like E3 has 60,000 people that show up. There's 250,000 people that go to Gamescom, and more business is conducted there. More handshakes, more signed deals. It's much more like it was in the 90s here. So it's more like the closest thing to that in North America is probably CES. Like CES is the closest thing we have to a traditional technology trade show left. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if they show something there. But if they really want to get a head start, they're going to want to release their system a few months before Microsoft to get a head start on the Christmas season. Like at the very latest, they're going to want it out for September. If they're smart, if you want to get families buying it, bring it out right at the end of the school year. Like bring it out in June or something like that. And then you've got a couple month lead before, like basically you could even do something, bring it out in July, say it's coming out in July. Well, or even beginning of August, that gives 2 months or so from when E3 is, they could announce it if they wanted to go back to E3, and then people would pre-order it like crazy and they wouldn't run out of stock by Christmas. The problem I see is Microsoft running out of stock at Christmas. If they're going to really sit around Black Friday or something, it'd be foolish, because that is what happened with the original PS4 and Xbox One launches. They started running out of systems too close to Christmas. That's why when the Pro came out and the Slim, they launched it back in the summer so that they wouldn't run out.
Like I said, that's why I'm predicting a September launch if PlayStation's going to try and get ahead of it. But with Microsoft, I can see them sticking to tradition.
Oh, wait a minute. 95 is when the PS1 came out. Do you think they might want to line it up with the original PS1's release for the 25th anniversary?
When was it launched?
Let me just double check right here while you talk.
Okay. Actually, so breaking news. I just got an email from Bethesda. I now have the tracking number for the coveted canvas bag.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy shit.
It was September 9th, 1995.
Again, September makes sense to me.
That would be a perfect day, actually, because they could just say it's been 25 years since we launched. They've already been doing this sort of, the anniversary editions of systems and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that.
I'm psychic. I'm just like Michael Pachter. I'm occasionally right, but I'm predicting September next year.
I mean, it's the most brilliant thing that Sega just did when, you know, they missed the launch window of, 9/9/19, right? It would have lined up with the whole 9999, but they are lining it up next year or this for this system where it's why am I drawing a blank on it?
Mini?
Yeah, the Mini is launching and it's got a similar release day that rhymes with it and sort of evokes that feel.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, pretty much those are our thoughts on E3. The only minor thing I wanted to bring up is Arcade 1-Up, I think that is.
Yep.
They announced two more mini cabinets.
Yep.
One which is Marvel-based, which has Marvel Super Heroes, X-Men Children of the Atom, and the Punisher side-scroller. And then there's another one for TMNT 1989. And Turtles in Time, which features an extra wide four-player cabinet. And then there's a Star Wars one, which is Star Wars Atari, Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi for under $500.
Well, and then at games, notorious for making really shitty consoles, with the exception of the first couple flashbacks, the Ataris, where you could actually install your own cartridge reader. Those mm-hmm. work really well. They are also coming out with a 350-game arcade cabinet, full-size, for your home.
Yeah, their aim is to bring MAME to the masses, I think, is the tagline.
That's what people are saying, but it's not MAME. They've licensed every single title.
But some of them are home ports, which are the NES games, which is
exactly. But the idea is they've contacted Data East and all these people. They're basically combining every arcade game that they can imagine. They got the Tetris license, which is interesting, for an official Tetris release. But that, you know, this is a step in the right direction for almost bringing back the arcades, because arcades that are and barcades that have operated sort of in that gray area, a lot of times you'll go to one and they'll have a main cab named something or other. It's sort of one of those things where they're like, is it illegal to run? No, it's a gray market. If somebody asks them, have you licensed that, they'll have to take away the arcade machine. But they're in basically every barcade across North America. Well, this will be a way for them to get into the market legally, be able to obtain a new machine that's built with quality parts that can be maintained and updated from the manufacturer. So, I mean, it's interesting that, you know, this is the year we got the At Games arcade, you know, Legends Ultimate. You got the 1UP arcade announced. You got the Enter the Gun Dungeon arcade machine. What the hell's going on with arcades this year?
It's the renaissance. It's hopefully seeing them come back in some capacity.
Yeah, and the Genesis Mini, like I said, it's September 19th, 2019. So it's 9/19/19. So that's a pretty good release date. So they're getting smart with how they're marketing these mini systems too. So I'm super hyped for that. I don't know what they're going to do with the Turbo Graphics. Like, who knows? I'll have to see more games that get announced.
I don't think it's going to be as big as you think it's going to be. I think it'll have a very dedicated community.
I'm not expecting it to be. I'm expecting it to fit on my shelf with my other mini systems that look cool.
See, that's not enough for me to spend $100 on something.
They haven't announced the price.
That's true.
It could be easily $60 because it's an 8-bit one. It depends on how many games. If they only announce like 16 to 20 games, it'll be like $40.
I don't know. I think you're going to see it rival the price of the PlayStation Classic at launch, because my guess is they're going to try and put more CD-based games onto it.
Yeah, depending on how the Ease 1 and 2 games on CD, and they've got Dracula X on CD. So
we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But anyway, we do want to hear from you guys. If you have any thoughts, you can always reach out to us on Twitter at This Week in Geek or feedback at thisweekingeek.net. We do read your emails. We always do appreciate it. You can also reach out to us on Twitter, which is at birdmandot. I reply to everybody, unless you're a prick. And Alex, yours is?
At DeathFaceTwig. If you're listening to this, the feed is going through some changes. We're upgrading our background system, basically. You might be seeing some new shows popping up in your feed, which is good for everybody. So this will be, I believe, the first show released under our new platform. So if you have any feedback for us, again, feedback at thisweekingeek.net.
But they shouldn't have to resub or anything.
Nope, you're not going to have to resub or anything. We're launching basically a classic feed as well, in addition to this, that is going to have some of our classic shows. Way back through some of the original releases from 12 years ago. So you'll be able to sort of get the history of, you know, how Twig has evolved, some of our classic commentaries and things, because, you know, pulling the curtain back a little bit, because we have like 1,300 episodes, there is a point where a feed no longer can pull things from really far back. And there are some classic episodes, some hilarious things, some amazing roundtable discussions, some commentaries and interviews that would be lost in the feed, you know, to the ether, if not for releasing a classic feed that is going to be curated and having the best. So, you know, if you did an interview with, what's one of your favorite interviews?
Probably, I really liked talking to some of the adult stars I've talked to over the years.
Yeah, you know what? And those, it's the kind of thing where I'm going to go through our archive. I'll pick out those ones. And we'll be releasing them probably, you know, depending on the speed, at least 2 to 3 of them a week will be thrown up onto that new feed, which I'll link into our description here, as well as it's basically you'll be able to look it up. You know, if you look up This Week in Geek, it'll be under your favorite podcatcher as This Week in Geek Classic.
So, all right, make sure you keep locked to that. So we will be returning. I'll be hopefully returning to Twig regular this week, beginning on Monday. So look up for that show sometime on Monday afternoon to evening. Don't know when Mr. Christopher is coming back. He's still taking a little bit of a hiatus from the show, but we'll make sure to touch base with him. So until next time, we have been
Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live free or die hard. And as always, be cool, be kind, be careful. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in the ha!
Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at ThisWeekInGeek.net for more geek content and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on ThisWeekInGeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at This Week in Geek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Genji 2 is an action game, which is based on Japanese history. The stages of the game will also be based on famous battles which actually took place in ancient Japan. So here's this giant enemy crab.
Octodad Deadliest Catch will stagger awkwardly onto PlayStation 4. Now, although historically accurate, this game does not contain giant enemy crabs.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected. Like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.